Knowing when to hold on and when to let go. That's today's post. After my last post, one of my readers asked, "How is your married life? You hardly talk about it, tips." To be honest, I cringed as soon as I read the comment, and I still haven't responded to her query to date. Why, you may wonder? Well, it's simply because I didn't have an appropriate answer, besides the fact that I'm recently separated, as in, yes, it's a wrap. So I let the question sink in and marinate as I figured out how to go about it. You've technically been a part of my life, especially if you've been reading my blog since I started out back in 2009, when I was so young, naive, and all over the place, and two, when I'm now older, partially mature, and somewhat settled. I know there are a couple of you that have continued to read all the nonsense that I still write here. You even asked me why I don't write as frequently as I used to anymore. So it's only fair for me to keep you updated. Then there are times when I have had some self-doubt and I started wondering what keeps you coming back. It's not like I have that much fun content, or at least I haven't had that for some time now. I knew that once I say this, it will arouse some curiosity, and of course you'll want to know things like what happened or what went wrong, but you guys look so happy and cute together, you are the last couple that I thought would separate, and all those kinds of sentiments that come about with such a reveal. And I completely understand, because firstly, it's human nature, and secondly, if I put myself in your shoes, I would also want to know what exactly happened to a friend, a peer, a colleague, a stranger even, just because. Not that knowing what happened would necessarily add much value to one's life besides satisfying the curiosity. However, some of these huge rocks in the ocean are best left unmoved and unturned. You just let it stay there to act as a reminder that it once existed and was a big part of your life, even if it's now inactive. Every story has two sides to it, and if I give you my side only, that would be pretty unfair to the other party. What I would say in confidence is that the problem was never the marriage in itself or the institution of marriage. It was the two individuals in it. And most of these issues that lead to separation exist even way before the wedding and consecutively marriage. It's just that we choose to downplay them or turn a blind eye on them, only for them to magnify when you're now settling in marriage. The first and second year are usually a whoosh, so you're caught up in other things to focus on your issues. It then gets to a point where the issues just linger and they keep staring back at you, like, do something about it or we'll do something about it. Then when you don't, they become so deep-rooted that they make you have a certain type of resentment towards each other, and it becomes almost impossible to reconcile with each other. The damage has been done, egos have been bruised, and the next natural thing to do is just become indifferent to the situation and to each other. It's a tough place to be because you lose yourselves. You're each trying to be who you're not. At least I was. You somehow want to show the other person that despite all this, I am strong. I am capable of taking care of things, and I am not even lonely, by the way, I'm good. You don't want to display your vulnerability to this person because you feel like you don't even matter to them anymore. It's not like they care anyway. And when it got to that point, we were forced to apply our wisdom. Should we hold on or should we let go? Of course, a lot of factors came to play at this point, and depending on the foundation of your relationship, that your relationship is set on, you can break the unnecessary walls you've created, face the issues head on and deal with them, and continue building a relationship with the right materials and equipment. And I believe that this would make you even more understanding of each other and more invested in the relationship. Problems are inevitable, by the way. Everyone has them. Let no one ever fool you that you'll be in a relationship with no problems. It's how you choose to deal with them that makes you or breaks you. You have to be mature about it. You also have to want to be in it in the first place. Alternatively, you can evaluate the issues and be honest with yourselves and with each other that it won't really work out because of this and that, and then allow each other to go ahead and live their best lives. It's not written in stone that you have to force a union when you both can clearly see that you are not one. Sometimes the best thing to do for the people that you love and care for is to actually let them go. I realized that this is something that I had to deal with for me to be able to open my mind to other things. That's the downside of being a creator, you know, a writer or a blogger. You have to deal with your demons or else they encumber you. I'm not doing this to get sympathy from you, but just so that you don't have to wonder what's going on with me anymore, you know. I left a lot to your imagination. I have taken the time to deal with the reality that has that this has been, and I'm still coming to terms with all of it, one day at a time. But now that I can write about it and let you in on it, then we're in the right direction. So to answer the question my lovely reader asked, that's the reason I stopped writing about my marriage, or marriage for that matter. I was also trying to figure it out, and then I didn't. But I know someday I will, hopefully with someone else. Now I can write about relationships because you live and you learn. And I think I have a thing or two I can share every once in a while. Stay inspired.